At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastamundo.
Hey, man, you haven't been doing Fantastamundo in a minute, I don't feel like.
Well, I mean, inside I'm screaming, but outside I'm smiling.
If Cecile were here, she would know the truth.
Yes, she would make her eyes turn green and then have a massive headache if she looked into my mind.
Oh, my. Oh, man, Belle, I am so glad to be hearing your voice, as always, here on Flash TV Talk. Of course, where we do the whole news and reviews and more of the Classic 90s series. Wait, no, that's that. What, Classic 90s series? Come on now. Oh, man. All right.
Professionalism.
Professionalism, man. We're a professional podcast talking about a show, and not just talking about a show, but talking about an exceptional episode. I'm really excited for it, man. We got a good one to dive into today. But first, we do want to let you guys know about something that some of you may have been aware of and some of you hopefully have not been aware of. But regardless, putting it out here just in case there's some confusion. We recently, Flash TV Talk, changed its hosting client. We were using Fireside FM. We've recently switched over to Red Circle. And so, yes, on all the podcast feeds, theoretically, everything should have switched over just fine. And you're listening to this just fine. But if you're listening to this and you had to find it in a weird way, that is the reason why. So by all means, I apologize. Bear with us on that one. You might need to redo the feed, but hopefully not. Hopefully not. And if you're hearing this now and in the future, you might need to redo the feed. That's why. So I think that's good, right?
Or, you know, if you had to redo your feed in the past, this is why.
You know, time is relative here on Flash TV Talk, yeah. and that's okay. That's the way we like it. And man, what a great episode to be diving into, to talk about some time travel and all that great stuff. Of course, it is made possible by the folks at patreon.com/TV Talk. If you too would like to help make the show happen, head over there to find out how. patreon.com/TV Talk. All right, Bell, that's housekeeping, but we've got an episode. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man, let's jump into The Rundown.
The Rundown.
Episode 16 of Season 7, POW, directed by Marcus Stokes and story by
Kristen Kim and Dan Fisk.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, Barry dreams about Nora again, but this time she warns him that her future is in danger. John Diggle arrives and helps Barry trap a Godspeed clone who reveals that the drones are searching for the, quote, prime August Hart and requests Barry's aid in killing him, but escapes upon his decline to do so. Diggle convinces Barry to go to the year 2049 to check on Nora, but he is knocked out of the Speed Force by Godspeed clones. Barry then finds Dion protecting Iris, who is inexplicably phasing through temporal planes. After Caitlin removes Esperanza's mask, she requests Allegra's help in stopping other black hole remnants, but Allegra refuses to do so. However, Barry's actions prompt her to join Esperanza, only to witness her die. Diggle, Cecile, and Frost find August Hart, but he has amnesia and is unable to remember who he is. After Diggle and Cecile suffer intense headaches, the former revolves to do something that he'd, quote, been keeping off. Meanwhile, Joe and Kramer trap their attacker, revealed to be her brother, who reveals he betrayed Kramer in the military for the experiments he endured due to his abilities. Joe talks Kramer down from killing him, and they take him prisoner. Afterwards, Nora arrives from 2049 alongside Bart Allen, Barry's future son.
Dun, dun, dun! All right, man, what an episode. So much happened this week. Like so much story that we have to go over with all of the, you know, story and whatnot. No, we got it. Like, this was actually like a fantastic episode. I think, and I mean, I realize that this isn't exactly saying a ton, but I think it's fair to say this may be the best episode of the season thus far.
I think so. Like, I'm digging the Godspeed War kind of thing. Like, the revelations that we had with that were really neat. Obviously, there's some, like, really, you know, story impacting things going on here. There's a lot to break down. There's a lot going on. And I would agree. This is probably the best one we've seen all season.
Man, I'm stoked. Okay, so where to begin? You know what? Let's just go ahead and address the Iris not in the room. So we start off this episode with Barry shouting to off-screen Iris again. And I thought, really? Again?
Yeah.
Like, are we really about to do this again?
Yeah, I thought we were going to have an also not in this episode segment about Iris again. And I was like,
oh, my goodness.
What is going on here? What is the deal?
Yeah, it was weird. And the weird thing is they made it even weirder by not okay, so how do I say this? So obviously Candace wasn't on set that day. clearly we had another Barry yelling off to the side, oh, Iris, don't get up, don't say anything, just hang out in the room, not feeling well, it's fine. And it was like this throwaway line, and once again it just feels off, because it's like, okay, we're missing Candace again, we're missing Iris, what's going on? And then she shows up later in the episode, and it's kind of a major reveal. It's like, oh my gosh, she's actually here. But the thing about it is, the character, it feels more like, oh my gosh, she's actually here, because we know as an audience that the actress hasn't been here. Whereas Barry, it's more like, oh, hey, how'd you show up? You know, like, it's less of a reveal for the characters and more of a real reveal for us, especially the way they treated it at the beginning of the episode. Does that make sense?
I'm confused. Are you trying to say that, like, Barry was covering for Iris disappearing?
No. Not at all. I'm just saying that it was a little, to me it would have been so I'll put it this way. Let me back it up and I'll put it in this context. So obviously Iris was not in last week's episode. At least the character was, but the actress certainly wasn't. And so we got a lot of yelling to Iris off screen
and on the phone
or on the phone. That's exactly right. But in this week, once again, we start yelling to Iris off screen. So it's odd. And then she does show up, and surprise, she's been removed from time. And it's kind of like, oh, well, that could have been a story like last week. You know what I mean? Like we could have actually set that up, and it would have felt a lot less weird. Like, it would have been like Iris missing, and that would have been kind of a bit of a plot line. And then Barry's dealing with the fact that, like, okay, well, I might be a dad, and she's disappeared, and I don't know what's going on. And, like, that's a lot of character drama going on right there. And then when she shows up this week in the way that she did, it would have kind of been like here she is. You know what I mean? Like, we got revealed to her location before we got revealed that she was missing. Does that make sense?
Yes. And that's what I thought about that as well. It was really, really kind of confusing there, because I was sitting there thinking, okay, well, she's sick. And for whatever reason, they're just saying she's sick and she's off camera. And Barry seems to know where she is, and he's not worried about it whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, yeah, she's trapped in time. And Barry's like, oh, okay, cool. It felt like the sick thing was it almost felt like they missed some scenes and they didn't film some stuff, you know?
Because, right.
Yeah, it felt like Barry was covering for her because of the pregnancy, saying, oh, she's got morning sickness, so that's why we're not showing her, is because she's sick. Or saying she's under the weather, like... But what it seems like in actuality, she's just disappearing out of time, and Barry's covering for her by saying that she's sick, which they didn't do at all. They didn't cover it. Like, they didn't address it that way. It was just very weird. And I was glad to see Candace back, but like there was no indication to me whatsoever that she was ever gone in the first place, because she wasn't on screen, and she's always been referred to, you know, in these last couple episodes as being sick as to why she's not there. So that's just what I assumed, and I don't know if that was supposed to be like a big like, you know, gasp reveal moment, but it didn't feel like it, because everything we've known thus far is just that she's been sick, and so that's why she's off camera for whatever reason, you know.
And I mean, like, that's, I mean, you know, this is a good storyline reason for, you know, why she isn't there. And it's actually, you know, my guess is it ties directly into what's going on with the kids. At least I think that's the case. I don't know if somebody knows more about what's going on behind the scenes, because, you know, we're not celebrity gossip types. All right. That's not this show. We're going to talk the time travel element of things. But I am curious, because, I mean, you know, again, the notion that she would need to be removed from time because of potentially what's going on, one imagines, with the kids and how that's connected to the Godspeed War, you know, that's a compelling story. I feel like it's a compelling story that could have lasted or could have started last week. And we have seen the continuation of stories and even like little micro stories throughout this back half of the season. Allegra kind of gets the conclusion of her arc with her cousin this week. I think this was the first time we actually saw Ultraviolet without a mask on, which was a little almost like, wait, who is that?
Yeah.
It's kind of like seeing a podcaster's face for the first time. You're like, oh, that's what you look like.
Yeah. And yeah, because like it was kind of crazy. I guess I don't know if it's just how the actress was, like, you know, the way she would look and like deliver her lines with the mask on, like her face.
She had the evil eye, man.
Yeah, like her eyes were completely different with the mask off, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that was really well done.
Yeah. No, that was it was nice to have also kind of that human element, especially because, you know, obviously in this episode she does meet her end. And man, how do you even say it? It's almost like this like surreal, beautiful and yet also very violent way of going out, right? With kind of the becoming like this like ashen, like fire flame thing. It was a cool effect, but tragic.
Yeah. I guess her, like, whatever the scientist did to her to boost her metagene, just like when she dies, it just like goes uncontrollable and just melts her or like burns her from the inside out.
You know, it kind of reminded me of Extremis from,
sure.
From Iron Man. Although I would say that this actually was a much cooler looking type of extreme, like, take on that effect. So once again, DC did it better. Oh, shots fired, but they're weak shots, but regardless, yeah. Shots fired. So we did get a kind of a conclusion of her arc. We also got a chance, and I was so glad to see this, that we didn't like forget her power set, that she actually is effective in a fight. We saw her, you know, specifically blast Godspeed and kick him out of the prison earlier, or out of the, she kicked him out of the basement during the fight with Barry, the brief kind of interaction with Barry there. So yeah, Allegra, we have seen her. She has now kind of evolved to her new form. And we got the conclusion of what has essentially been like a 3-part arc for her.
Yeah.
What do you think, man? Since this is kind of, you know, we're getting closer to the end of the season. I believe we only have 2 episodes left. If we kind of look at this where, you know, this season we had a couple of different arcs, right? Like a lot of these characters had kind of different arcs that were spread out amongst a couple of different episodes. We kind of got reintroduced to Allegra this season. What are your thoughts on the way that she was handled? Are, you know, were you satisfied? Are you wanting to see more of her? What are your thoughts?
I think they did a pretty good job, especially, you know, the reveal episode of her, like, you know, true power or whatever, you know, that kind of, mm-hmm. we have that sort of plateau of her story there, and we have a resolution of Allegra and Esperanza here in this episode. Now there's going to be repercussion for that, and so we'll see where that goes, and maybe that leads her to be like some sort of avenging, you know, angel for Esperanza, where like her, you know, her true power will be revealed and she'll go and she'll stop the remnants of Black Hole to avenge her sister or something like that. And who knows, maybe that'll like push her down a villain arc and we can actually have a member of Team Flash become a villain like we wanted, you know, for Frost, I guess Killer Frost before she was Frost. You know, we wanted that turn, that heel turn,
right.
Who knows,
man? I don't know. I'm not giving up on it being Cecile, man. She's being monitored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Diggle came up. He's like, we know what's going on with Cecile. Huh? Yeah.
Well, thanks for leveling up. Well, thanks for stepping in when, you know, she was Psycho Pirate. Like, thanks for all the help there.
We're watching. We know exactly what's going on from afar so that y'all can, you know, handle it.
Yeah, you guys got this. Y'all got it.
Come on. We've seen you go. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Like, we know the Flash is not in town to save you. And so you're running with like some unexperienced members of your team with like, you know, a centuries old psycho pirate. Right. But hey, you know what? You guys got this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was good. Diggle, by the way, back. Great use of Diggle this week. A lot of times when characters kind of, you know, come visit another show or make kind of their return, sometimes I don't want to say it feels forced, but it's almost like it's shoehorned into other storylines that are going on. But I actually felt like the way in which he was engaging with the story was really solid. Like, he brought kind of a level of expertise with his military background. He also had quite a bit of, obviously superhero experience. There was, I think, a great moment between him and Chester with that kind of being in that, you know, on the team and dealing with Chester's, you know, imposter syndrome that he's kind of been dealing with.
Yeah.
Diggle never really had that. Like, not once in Arrow early seasons did you ever get the sense that Diggle was like, oh, I'm not really even supposed to be here. He was more like, you know, to Oliver, like, you're not really even supposed to be here. And so it was kind of nice to see him kind of just share that, or kind of impart a sense of confidence towards Chester and, hopefully it would be nice to see Chester kind of grow in a similar fashion as well. And maybe we'll see that in subsequent seasons, but man, a lot going on with Diggle. He got to go on a little side quest with Cecile. He got to bring some Cisco tech, a little Pokeball looking thing for catching, Godspeeds. The Pokeball thing was the random bouncy ball,
the disc, the ghost trap, like with the cone of ghost trap energy.
The thing on the floor.
Yeah, the purple disc thing.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Diggle caught the ball with it. But the actual Godspeed trap was a little disky thing on the floor.
Was the disky thing on the floor. All right, yeah. So the Ghostbuster... What was the Ghostbusters? Was it Power Pack or something like that?
No, they had the ghost trap.
Was it called the ghost trap? I thought it had like a name.
I don't know. I always called them ghost traps.
Oh, okay. Well, he had the ghost trap then. Which made sense. Didn't he call him Casper at one point too? I think he did. Diggle also has a lot going on, of course. The conclusion of Arrow left audiences with a tease of perhaps Diggle becoming a Green Lantern. And I think there was a lot of perhaps hope this week that we might see him as a Green Lantern. But instead, we got a chance to see him kind of grappling with voices. Did you recall that Diggle was, had received a ring?
Yeah, I remember that. I know I heard about it, that he got the ring and he was like, you know, he pulled the roadie in the first Iron Man where he was like, next time, baby.
But no, so I mean, like, I was happy to see Diggle back. I was very happy to see him back. But I was a little disappointed that we didn't get actually a chance to see him in Green Lantern gear set up or with some of his character, you know, or some of his story kind of transpiring behind the scenes. Now, that being said, as I understand it, he is supposed to appear on Superman and Lois this week. So it's also possible that we might get a continuation, or at least audiences might get a continuation of what happens to his character there.
Man, I would hope so. I think it'd be really cool to see a Green Lantern, you know? On one of these shows.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I'm cool with it being Dig. That was obviously a fan theory for a long time, was that he could potentially be a Green Lantern. Obviously, you know, John Stewart is, the Green Lantern that I think people were trying to kind of really say, like, well, maybe his mother's maiden name was Stewart, or, you know, like, oh, Garrick. Garrick was my maiden name, or my mom's maiden name. You know, we got that with Jay, so... You know, obviously it's something this universe does from time to time. And I mean, it's fine. I think it's fine. I was never against the idea. I thought it was a cool idea. Cool. But it did always feel a little like, oh, like we're not going to get payoff for this, you know? Like, I don't know.
I'm disappointed.
I'll just say it. I'm disappointed. I wanted a Green Lantern this week.
Yes, I wanted one too, but what I'm saying is, like, I don't care that it's not John Stewart or, you know, whoever. Like, Diggle can be a Green Lantern. Like, a Green Lantern is a Green Lantern. Like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't have to be one from the comics, does it?
No. And I mean, that's the thing. They have certainly, you know, played fast and loose with the source material. So I'm not mad at them for getting creative. I think my main thing is less, I want a Green Lantern, and more of like, hey, if Diggle's going to be Green Lantern, cool. Make him Green Lantern. Stop with this like teasing. This is the second time they've teased us with, oh, Diggle's going to be a Green Lantern. Like, he got the ring, y'all. Like, we're good. Show us.
Yeah.
If he's going to be a Green Lantern. Don't keep on teasing it around. That's not fair to us. It's not fair to Diggle. We want to see it happen.
Like, I was halfway expecting it to be like Diggle shows up and like, oh man, cause we need some help. And he's like, well, I got you covered. And then like he puts the ring on and he's like, oh yeah, you know, like that'd have been awesome, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I even noticed his outfit, the Spartan outfit. I don't recall it having as much green in it as it did this week, but I could be misremembering. I mean, obviously green was kind of the motif of Team Arrow. So from that standpoint, I'm not, it's possible. But regardless, we did get a lot of great use of Diggle, so I'm not overly mad about it. I just think we do, you know, we can only take so many of these like bait and switches with Diggle becoming Green Lantern. Just make him Green Lantern show. We can handle it.
Yeah.
All right. So, but no, Diggle was there, and like I said, he had a kind of a great little side quest with Cecile. Upset, not upset, but concerned because of course Joe is MIA. He's missing in action. He is off on the most side quest of side quests looking for Kramer versus Kramer. Anything to talk about? Like, do we need to talk about this plot line or can we skip it without people being mad?
I mean, you know, it's Kramer v. Kramer. It's going to happen. Like, well, okay, so one thing we have to talk
There's
about.
There's a Godspeed war, Bell. Like,
yes. But one thing we have to talk about is the fact that I call it the whole cloning thing, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. Kramer died. This is not the real Kramer. So that's what they're doing here is they're cloning people. They're killing them. And having them come back is like replacements or something. Like, that's what I'm unsure of about.
Right. Okay.
Maybe she's brainwashed. Like, whatever organization killed her originally now has some sort of like subversive chip in her brain to make to control her and make them, you know, make her do what they want her, what they want him to, you know, what the organization wants them to do is what's going on here. And so there's some kind of like cloning thing because like that dude's died a bunch of times. So they probably used his metagene to make clones of these people. Which will tie into Godspeed because cloning somehow.
So that was the thing, right? Like, is the assumption here then that whatever they're tied to is the technology or the method through which we get ourselves a bunch of Godspeed clones? Because they're not clones. Not clones, right?
Maybe they are. I don't know. I thought they were robots, but maybe they're not.
Well, so you thought they were robots, and I thought maybe they were like clones or like projections, but I mean they've talked about it. The Godspeeds we've seen in the past are not the same people underneath the mask. So they're drones. And you know, this one this week said, you know, we did not ask to be brought into the world, but we want to live, you know.
But they're talking about Prime, like the Prime August Heart, like as in the first.
They talked about the Prime Godspeed, not the Prime August Heart. August Heart is the Prime Godspeed, but he's not necessarily like these dudes. I don't think are all clones of August Heart. We've seen one of them unmasked before, and it was a different person.
Yeah, but I mean that could be, as you know, we didn't know what we were doing with it back then, well, and now we do. And so now all of them unmasked are going to be played by the same actor who played August Heart.
Yeah, I mean that's possible. Different body types at play. Between all, and I get it, we're dealing with extras.
You find me, you know, 12 different people, or even six, and you can have six on six and just, you know, swap them around. Six people with the same height, same build, who are all actors, you know, and can do all that stuff.
Well, I feel like if he was going to be, so if Godspeed was, if all the Godspeed drones were supposed to be August Heart or versions of August Heart, I feel like we'd be dealing with Time Remnants. But maybe they feel like Time Remnants are played out.
No, they're not Time Remnants. Like,
I know they're not Time Remnants, but yeah. I'm saying like if they were all him, then wouldn't they just be time? Like, wouldn't?
But they're not
like,
him. They're clones or replicants or something.
Right.
They're not the Prime, and some of the Godspeeds have pledged allegiance to the Prime, and some have not. But they're all coming from the same source.
I mean, Heart made them. And yeah, I don't know.
I mean, maybe they are like robot drone things.
Well, no, I mean, I'll grant you that the clone aspect of things being kind of a means of which to tie this Kramer versus Kramer storyline into what's going on with Godspeed. Sure. That tracks. And that would certainly kind of give some justification and, you know, perk me up a little bit more. But like, you know, at some point I was like, okay, can we get back to the war that's going on in Central City?
I'm more excited about Kramer v. Kramer because like
this is the show now.
I'm just waiting for the puns, you know.
Yeah, no, it's not coming fast enough. That's the other thing too, is they set it up and then the puns aren't there.
Yeah, see, Cisco would have been right on that.
Cisco like, would have been
they,
on it.
Like
man.
Joe gets back and he's telling him what's going on. He's like, "Yeah, apparently they cloned Kramer." And then Cisco's like, "Wait, you're telling me this is Kramer versus Kramer?"
Yeah. He would have been all over that. Anyway, now they get rid of Cisco. Come on, this would have been the spot. This would have been his season. This would have been his moment.
Jeez.
Anyway, so there you go. I think you're probably onto something. I think there might be a connection there. Although I don't know that we are dealing with straight August Hart clones. I love the fact that we finally got the reveal that, of course, August Hart is the prime Godspeed, that he is to some extent, the puppet master or has been the puppet master, and we're dealing with some of his drones determining that they've kind of broken free. They have free will. They don't want to be eradicated once, you know, all the velocity, all of the speed has been gathered. And so they are, they're combating him and they want to get to August Hart. It is the Terminator, Bell. We are dealing with a Terminator.
Yes.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. They're going back in time. I mean, you know, if you look at, you know, John Connor as a supervillain, which, depending on which Terminator, typically ends up becoming one.
Well, yeah, but it's kind of more like,
No, it's literally the Terminator. They're going back in time to kill August Hart before. But here's the thing, though.
But No. Because it would be as if a T-1000 on its own decided to go back in time and kill Skynet before Skynet was made. Not the human, like, because otherwise.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, it's a reverse Terminator, then.
It's a self-hating Terminator who wants to erase his existence.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So it's a reverse Terminator. But here's the
reverse-inator.
Oh man. Here's the only thing that I got to make mention of with this. If these dudes kill Prime, right? If they kill the Prime Heart or August Heart, and their whole goal is to live, and they're killing him. One imagines an earlier version of him. Wouldn't that eradicate them from the timeline?
They would rather die free than live a slave,
or die trying,
or live in chains, kind of thing. I'm assuming is what the mentality there is. Is like, yeah, you know, because I mean, obviously, if they kill him in the past, they could have never been made in the future, and so as opposed to being, you know, drones and then being killed once their usefulness is made up, they've taken the initiative to be like, you know what, we're just never going to exist in the first place, and like, you know, go out that way, which I think it's fair.
It was kind of a big deal. He took his fist and he pounded on the window. It was like, to live. Like, their big MO right now is, you know, staying alive. Like that's what they want.
Yes. Well, they don't. Yeah. And they don't want to be, you know, pawns of August Hart and be killed by him after they're done doing whatever it is they want him to do. And who knows, maybe if they kill him, that will do something, because what was it, like, you know, his ultimate goal, you know, infinite velocity or whatever it was, and maybe by doing that, it will, I don't know, rupture the Speed Force, and then they can, like, you know,
live
survive.
Happily ever after?
Yeah, yeah, they can go live in the Speed House, you know, and then they'll have a sitcom of Speed House. Yeah. Where it's like, you know, Godspeed, did you finish your homework?
Laugh track. Yeah. Now I don't know. It's a little. It's a fine premise for a speedster war, especially from the standpoint of, you know, these factions who have come to the present, and this is the reason we're here is because this is where the Prime is. And I should note, I mean, like, they did not clarify that this is an August Hart before he becomes Godspeed. It's very possible that this is August Hart from the future who is hiding out in the present. You know, the amnesia thing was very reminiscent of Eobard in was The Return of Barry Allen in the comics, where you're dealing with Wally West, who, you know, are all of a sudden you have Barry Allen has returned, and Wally West is dealing with the ramifications of this. But then it turns out it wasn't Barry Allen. It was actually Eobard Thawne who arrived, and he had amnesia, and he figured out that, oh, I must be the Flash. I must be Barry Allen because I look like Barry Allen, not realizing that he had had like facial reconstructive surgery before going back to the past. I'm just saying, I think they're pulling from that to some extent. No, there's comics. That's what happened.
That's legitimately
what happened in that story. It's a great story.
Anyway,
so I don't know, man. We'll see how it all goes. But what do you think about this concept in terms of like a speedster war going on in Central City, especially one from the future? Like, to me, that's some grade A quality, you know, flash stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the concept of it's awesome, but like, they're not really speedsters. It's all artificial.
Ooh, shots fired.
Well, they're not. Like, that was the whole thing. It's like, you know, the freaking pipeline didn't work. Because he's not a real meta, because it was artificial speed, and he just like, all right, I'm just gonna bust up out of here.
I thought it was very interesting they took the time to point that out, because not only are we dealing with, you know, these guys as speedsters, and the lab not working, but the extreme opposite of that was also true, because they fought Barry, not just in the real world. But they actually took it to the Speed Force.
Yeah.
They fought the Flash in the Speed Force.
And beat him.
And they're not even speedsters. They're not even like true, you know, if you will, speedsters.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like, which is why I think the clone thing kind of makes more sense now, because, you know, they were saying something about the metagene and how the metagene, you know, it wasn't a real metagene. And so, you know, if they're clones and there could have been like, you know, a distortion of that, then perhaps that's what it is. But like, still though, like, how do you, everybody else who hasn't been a real legit speedster has like disintegrated by now. Granted, they had Blue Lightning and all these Godspeeds have White Lightning. So there's something that's connecting them to the Speed Force. And I don't know if it's a stronger connection or if they're just able to siphon more energy out of it than Barry is right now. But yeah, they're whooping him.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're utilizing some form of velocity that one imagines is beyond what we've seen before. For one thing, you know, it's, you know, the first half of this season really did a number on my brain when it came to the color of lightning and everything it meant. And I kind of walked away from that with, you know what, if they're not going to take it seriously, maybe the message here is that you're not supposed to take it seriously either. So on the one hand, I risk doing something I've been instructed by this show not to do, by pointing out that, you know, velocity in the past has been seen as blue and also seen specifically as kind of like a fake faux speed force and something that could absolutely kill you. Now, we've seen it evolve as Cisco has worked on it, but even in the more evolved fashion, it's still been blue. And so I'm wondering here if we're not dealing with something else. Like, yes, they are fake speedsters. They are fake metas. They're not real metas. However, and they are using velocity. However, there's clearly something else in the mix, one imagines, because we're not seeing blue lightning and because we're not just seeing them tap into the Speed Force or make connection with the Speed Force or running very fast. We're seeing them, I mean, fighting physically inside the Speed Force, something that outside of Barry and Eobard, we've never actually seen somebody else do. I guess Savitar maybe drug him. I don't know.
Yeah, Savitar drug him through the Speed Force, kind of.
Which is fine. I mean, that's the thing, right? Savitar can do that. Savitar is Barry.
Yeah.
And Savitar had white lightning too, right?
Maybe something to do with like the speed suit.
Could it be the clone aspect of things?
Yeah, but Barry, you know? But Savitar wasn't a clone of Barry. He was like Dark Barry from another timeline.
Well, and I'm using clone loosely here, but I mean, like he was another, like, so basically the multiple versions of the same speedster are accessing the Speed Force, right? So if you're not the Prime, but you are connected, like, but you're one of him, then perhaps White. Again, putting way too much thought into this.
Yeah, but like I
taught us last season. This is dumb. We're doing the thing we were instructed not to do.
Yeah. I feel like I wish that was still like a thing we could use as some sort of marker to try and speculate. But yeah, I feel like now it's just not. It's just they're like, you know what? Screw it.
I don't know what's going on, but I would say that at the very least, it's clear that regardless of the fact that they're utilizing velocity, the fact they do have white lightning, to me means there's got to be something else going on with all of this. I loved the feel of Central City under war, under kind of a speedster warfare. The notion of kind of the streets being dominated by these speedsters in kind of a constant state of rushing all over the place, the horrific nature of them literally going and essentially terminating anybody at any time without warning, and just, you know, you don't even get the Arnold knock at the door. They literally just like roll in and beat you up. I thought was, you know, great in a terrifying sense. And honestly, would have loved to see more than this, more than just the beginning of this episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, I'm curious though, because like, you know, obviously it'd be kind of scary if there were a bunch of Godspeeds running around and stuff like that, but were they just like roughing up do they not know what he looks like?
That's the other question too. We got the reveal this episode that they can talk, and you know, the argument that the, you know, drone gave was that they just didn't know, you know, whether or not Barry was worth talking to. And we do see that they are moderately intelligent. I mean, they're intelligent enough to have a conversation, to share, you know, to have motives and all that kind of stuff. So they're not brain dead, or at least half of them aren't brain dead. That's, you know what? That's actually, I wonder if, how do we separate these guys when talking about them? Like, what are the factions here?
So they're
the loyalists and the rebels.
Certainly. I don't know.
Cause you got the prime guys, the team prime.
Yeah, team prime, and then what's the opposite of prime? Divisible by two. So we have team prime and then team divisible by two.
All right, so the team divisible by twos clearly can have conversations. They've got motives and everything else. But maybe the team prime is actually the ones that we've seen in the past where they just open their mouths and they just modem speak at you. Yeah, the drone that they caught before didn't exactly look like the sharpest tool in the shed.
Yeah, well, I think that's like, that's a choice on their... I would think that both of them are probably the same amount of smarts. I would think that Team Prime doesn't communicate in anything other than the modem chirp, because there's no point. The only reason Team Divided by Two decided to talk to Barry was because he thought he could get an ally out of it, whereas the other ones wouldn't even consider that. And so why even talk in human speak? Like, that's kind of my thought about it, where it's like, it's more efficient for them to talk in modem speak or whatever, so that's why they do it. The only reason they would not talk in modem speak would be to try to communicate with people, which for the Team Prime would never need to do that. Why would they communicate with anybody? Whereas Team Divisible by Two wanted Barry to be an ally to them, and he was not. So
interesting.
That's my thought.
Okay. All right. No, I mean, I could kind of see that. Fair enough. We'll see how it all plays out. We do finally get a chance to see, as I mentioned before, August Hart in this episode. He is the key to winning the war. Of course, Team Flash has decided to guard him. Both sides want him, but we don't. This is really the thing. This is what I was trying to think of earlier. Fair point, Bell, with the communication and deciding who they want to talk to and yada, yada, yada. The reality is we've only really heard one side of this war. Like, we've heard about Team Prime through the lens of Team Dividable by Two. And so we don't actually know what Team Prime's case is for what they're wanting to do.
Well, you know what I mean? I think it's still the infinite velocity thing. They're working for...
But why? But see, that's the thing.
Oh, like, we don't know. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, if they're working for the Prime, cool. But like, what is he... Like, what's his deal? Why does he want it? Maybe, Bell, maybe he wants it to make ice cream for everybody.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So he's trying to go out and he's trying to steal all the velocity, but... Is it really stealing? Because if you consider the amount of ice cream he's going to deliver to everybody, then it's really an investment on everybody's part. Yeah. And now everybody gets free ice cream all the time because of Godspeed. And that's what the war is. We don't know.
like next week's villain is like, you know, Godspeed's carrying 40 pies down the street distribute to children. He's like, you know, they stole pies from my bakery. And Barry is like, now Godspeed clones. I think it's great that you want to help these kids, but you got to pay for those. And then okay. And they Care Bear stare, and then we're all friends.
That's it. Fund it right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of the episode, we finally do get the return of Nora West Allen. and back, and not just in flashbacks and not just in dreams, but she has returned, ladies and gentlemen, and she is not alone. She brought with her her baby brother from the same mother, and at the same time, I don't know, maybe she might be the baby. We don't know. But twin. What yeah. imagines her twin? Bart Allen, ladies and gentlemen. He's back for the first time.
Don't have a cow, man.
Wow. That is a dated reference right there, sir.
Because his name's Bart?
No, I know. I got it.
I hope Barry doesn't eat his shorts.
Okay.
Cowabunga. Oh, no, wait.
All right. Quick.
Speedster speculation.
All right.
that was a good
Saved by the transition. Yeah. Belle, Nora West Allen has returned. Or has she? Because when we first, or rather last, saw Nora, she was eradicated from the timeline and had this great noble send-off and death where, like, not just was she killed in that moment, but she was literally removed from the timeline to the extent where I think we all walked away assuming she would never return. And there would have to be some extreme measures for her to be able to return in any kind of capacity. So a couple of questions. First off, is this our Nora West Allen, or is this a new Nora West Allen?
This is a new Nora West Allen.
Okay. So if we go off of that, I'm actually going to try to argue both situations. If we go off of that this is a new Nora West Allen, why then, Belle, is she showing up on the scene talking with Barry like she knows who he is, beyond just the fact that she's like, why would she be like, I know you got a lot of questions, I'm your daughter. Like, she shows up as if she already knows that Barry knows that she is his daughter.
Because this is a new timeline where Barry hasn't disappeared and Barry has been a dad, because Bart clearly knew him, because Bart said, can I call you Pops? You like me to call you Pops, but I don't remember when that was. So they clearly grew up with him.
No, I know that they know who he is, but they are acting as though he should know who they are.
Yeah.
Or specifically who she is.
Yeah, because speedsters, and they know that they went back in time.
But that's the thing. She didn't go back in time.
But she did.
But you said this is not our Nora West Allen. Our Nora West Allen went back in time. But this one didn't go back in time, if we're going based off of that assumption.
Yeah, but Barry probably told them.
There it is.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think if you go with the notion that she is not our Nora West Allen, that Barry told her, like, all right, hey, you're going to show up. I had this whole adventure with an alternate version of you. I will be, so I'm probably going to be emotional when I see you and everything, because I thought I'd never see you again and everything else. So just be prepared for that. But, I'm going to know who you are. So I think old Barry probably prepped him.
Yeah.
Okay. That's that argument there. I think that's right. And I think that's the answer to that question. Now, let me play a little devil's advocate, because I think there's also a much more interesting situation that we could be dealing with.
Do you know?
I do. What if, Belle, what if Nora is our Nora? And what's going on with Iris is connected to Nora's return to the timeline. Because Iris is fluctuating in and out of time. That's what they said. The Still Force had to, step in and remove her into kind of some sort of time bubble to stabilize her, because she is shifting in and out of time. Now, one imagines that her ego is Prego, and one imagines that it's not a traditional pregnancy. We, at the risk of getting into spoilers, how do I say this? Cecile's a pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yielded her with superpowers.
Oh, so you think that that Iris is going to have, like, time powers or something?
I think that part of what's going on with Iris, if she's carrying two speedsters, she might, she's biologically connected to speedsters. It makes sense to me that she'd, be able to tap into the Speed Force, and we could, theoretically, see a return of Speedster Iris. Those promo images are already out there, right? Like, that's not too spoilery, is it? Okay, all right. Well, maybe it is too spoilery, so I apologize. I tried to tiptoe around that, but then I just stepped on it completely. But regardless, I think that part of what we're going to see is Iris gaining superpowers as a result of the fact that she's pregnant. And I also think that it's not a usual pregnancy, not just because she's carrying speedsters, but I think that in some form or fashion, it might be connected to the forces that she is like, basically they're returning Nora back to the timeline. So there is kind of a pseudo Immaculate Conception situation going on potentially here, right? Like Bart's on the way, but Nora's gonna, you know, she's gonna hitchhike.
No, I think it's twins, man. Like I think her existence.
I think it's twins too, but that's what I'm saying. Like I think it's twins, but one of those. How do I say this? So when a man and a woman love each other very much.
No. What you're saying is like she was just going to have Bart, and now
the
Nora...
bird goes to the nest, and then there's sometimes there's two nests, and then the two birds. Well, hang on. I'm saying that she's going to have Bart. But I'm saying that some potential cosmic forces may be at play to also squeeze Nora in there as well. And that they're going to be born as twins, but maybe like she's being like phased back into existence, so to speak.
I still don't.
Is that too high concept?
but which Nora? Is this a brand new Nora?
Nora. This... No, I'm arguing that's the explanation for it being our
No,
Nora.
Because her future's gone.
But cosmically,
I don't know. I don't buy it. I think it's a new Nora, and I think Barry explained to them, you know, Nora's past and like how that happened and all that kind of stuff. So that like, you know, if there's an ever need for you to go back in time, then know that I'll know who you are, and you won't have to like worry about lying to me or anything like that because you lied to me before and I didn't like that.
We'll see how it goes. I'm sure we'll get an explanation next week of some sort. I would imagine we would get an explanation next week of some sort. I'm glad that she's back. She did act slightly different, which would make sense because if you're right, and I think you probably are, that she is a different Nora and not quote unquote our Nora, then there should be a slight difference in her characterization, especially because our Nora, you know, went through some stuff with her mom and not having a dad. And clearly they've got a dad, which she originally did not. Like our Nora did not grow up with the dad.
Yeah, and so that's why I think it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think that's fine. I think that makes sense. So we'll see what happens. That was me just trying to stretch a little bit, you know, like
you got to stretch those speculation wings.
Exactly. So that was my goal.
You've flown too close to the sun with this one.
Well, see, sometimes, Bell, there's two suns and then there's two birds.
Anyway. Yeah, then you get space babies like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
The bees pick up the pollen, and then...
And then the stork speedsters. Eats the bee.
Right.
And then the stork grows baskets out of its legs, and then babies grow in the baskets.
We've now horrified... If people don't know what we're talking about, we've now horrified those that... Well, we've just horrified everybody. So. Our apologies. Ask your parents, kids.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, this is Chad Roque, and you are listening to Flash TV Talk.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, we got some listener feedback in this week from Craig. What did Craig have to say?
Hey guys, I don't know if this was if this wasn't addressed for story reasons or if it was just a throwaway line, but Barry distinctly said that Cisco made the time vault impenetrable in case Barry went bad again, but Godspeed busted through with no problem when Chester was hiding. I don't understand why they didn't say how Godspeed broke through unless that is going to come back around later. What if Cisco is working with that LMD guy at Argus and somehow inadvertently helped create these Godspeed robots in the future where the kids are from? Or there's always Eobard using Cisco. Granted, it might not be that crazy, but why would they say that it was impenetrable just for it not to be? Love the podcast, Craig.
Craig, great question. That's
very
a great
good question. And I think maybe we got an answer to that this episode.
Because of him not being a quote unquote real speedster.
Yeah, him not being like a real meta, and the meta gene was different, and maybe like it was impenetrable. Just like how the pipeline shuts off meta powers. Maybe the same technology was used in the time vault, and since it operates on a different meta wavelength or whatnot, it would have neutralized Barry or another speedster's powers, but not Godspeed, since they're not tuned to the right meta frequency, so to speak.
Huh.
But I am curious, I was thinking about that, like, after the episode, I was like, this thing's impenetrable. He just busted up in there. Maybe, like it couldn't have been just to, add suspense and stuff. Oh, is Chester going to get it? Like, what's going on? But, yeah, like, it's Cisco doesn't make stuff that just doesn't, work like that.
Doesn't
like,
work.
If he says right. If Cisco made it impenetrable, then it's definitely impenetrable, at least to whatever Cisco originally designed it to be impenetrable to. Now, I mean, yeah, my guess is that it's just that, this particular brand of clone meta or whatever doesn't emit or has a different, whatever OMG science thing you want to put in there. So, like, it can ignore those security protocols or whatever that Cisco had in there and just bust right through.
That's a good explanation. I mean, the other thing that we have to consider, like we said, is that these Godspeed drones are they are destroying Barry, not just in the real world, but also in the Speed Force. That should be his home field advantage. Like, on every single level, these guys are just absolutely trashing him. So you could also make an argument that Cisco wasn't able to foresee this situation. So it handles Barry, but these guys are handling Barry pretty easily too. So yeah, that would be my guess. Good point though, Craig. I have a feeling it is going to come back at some point in this. I don't know if they're going to address the fact that the Godspeeds are able to kind of get around it, but I do think that we'll probably see, some sort of commentary in the future here.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be some sort of resolution to that, because otherwise it's just, a pretty glaring plot hole.
Absolutely. Well, man, so I am curious. Like I said, we've got a couple episodes left this season. It has been it's been a rocky one. It's been an interesting one. This is definitely one of the highlights from the season, though, with this episode. Godspeed War. Do you want to place your bets? Are you going for Team Prime or are you going for Team multiples of two? Wait, what was it? Deductibles of two?
Divisible by two.
Divisible by two. Team divisible by two or Team Prime? Bell.
I am going on Team Care Bear Stare Augustus Hart and make him realize that he shouldn't do the things in the future that he's going to do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Like they're going to redeem him somehow.
Okay. But so you're thinking that, we're not going to get a winner in the war. The war's just going to stop because Care Bear Stare.
Yeah. Well, the war will never happen because Augustus Hart is going to be, you know, Care Bear stared onto Team Flash, and in doing so, if he creates Godspeed, it's going to be like Godspeed might be an ally in the future as opposed to someone trying to kill the Flash.
That's less of a fun answer, but it is it is the highly likely answer.
Well, it's been the theme. It's been the theme this season, is that we're not going to punish our villains. We're going to help them see the evil of their ways and turn around and help the community and stuff like that. And so...
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, it's certainly been a consistent arc throughout this season. It's, you know, it's less interesting, but it's been consistent.
Yeah.
And if that's not... That's the theme of this season. That's really the theme of this season. Not as interesting, but consistent. all right. No, I think you're probably right. But we will see what we shall see here in the near future. I'm excited. I'm glad we got speedsters. I'm glad we got a speedster war. I'm glad that we got time travel back in the mix. And I'm glad the kids have finally shown up. Loving Bart, man. I'm really excited to see him next week and engage with Barry. Definitely brings kind of a new, you know, it reminds me of XS kind of having that youthful energy that she brought onto the show. Even though she was obviously, you know, they're the same ages as her parents, so to speak. There was that, you know, sense of, yeah, I guess like just a youthful innocence that she had that was kind of a bright spot as she was dealing with a lot of different, you know, personal trauma and everything else. And now we got Bart, who's in very much kind of that, oh yeah, this is Shway, let's go, let's crash this thing. Like, he is all in, man. I'm digging it. Loved the lingo that he was pulling out from the future and also from Young Justice for that matter. And I'm stoked, man. So looking forward to next week, looking forward to seeing where it goes. I hope that these kids stay for more than two episodes, but we will see what we shall see. And man, will we see it ever. The Flash family is going to be finishing out this season strong. I say it here. Will there be Care Bear stares? Probably. But there's going to be some pretty amazing action sequences along the way. We certainly got some on this week, and I was happy to see it. Bell, any final thoughts before we roll out?
No, man, I agree. Like, I think we're going to have a really good end of the season. I've been waiting for the kids to show up. Better late than never. So, yeah, really excited to see those interactions. Excited to see how the Godspeed War is going to turn out and how the kids are going to help with that. And really, like, you know, what's up with Nora? Like, is it our Nora? Is it a new Nora? And, yeah, a lot of questions remain to be answered, and I'm excited to see what those answers are.
That's right. That's right, man. Just like your grandparents, we're just happy that the kids are here. We've just been waiting for the kids to show up. So we're stoked. All right, we want to encourage y'all. Let us know what y'all think about this season, about the storyline, about all of this. You can hit us up on Twitter. You can follow us at Flash TV Talk. You can follow Bell at Ring That Bell.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest news and daily discussions on all things Flash, facebook.com/FlashTV Talk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides music for our show. You can check out the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/Charlie Bach.
Shout out to the good folks at TVTalk.fm. That's going to do it for us for this week, but don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.